I am so happy to see each and every single one of you here today in God's house. And I have learned to give honor and credit to where honor and credit is due. That means don't soak up all the credit and honor for yourself. And so that's what we are not going to do. So I want to make mention, Mom and Dad, y'all come up here. Amen. He wants to talk. Let him talk.
Well, if you've got $5, you can have a piece. No, I'm just. We will be taking this, I'm sure, over to the Bain Center. This will be part of what we're going to have. We've got a wonderful meal planned for you. Mom, why don't you?
Well, see, okay. Now, hold on just a minute, Brother Angelo. So if anybody doesn't know, I'm going to give you just a little bit of history. But this is Brother Angelo. This is Sister Millie. They founded this ministry in 1987. And I want to just, you know, like I said, give honor to where honor is due and credit to where credit is due. Parish Christian Center, first of all, it would not exist without these two people. It would not have been able to continue on throughout these years without them. We are a walking, talking miracle. And proof that God will give a family favor if they'll just answer the call. And so tomorrow is Brother Angelo's birthday. Amen. And I called the bakery and I said, whatever the biggest cake that you have, that's the one I want. Because Dad has always been, go big or go home. But he is going to be 71 tomorrow. Amen.
And look. I'm going to get half of this cake, and you guys can have the... No.
So anyways, Dad is still a pastor here at Parish Christian Center, and he is still my pastor. And so on behalf of Parish Christian Center and Pastor Appreciation, Dad, we want to give you this card.
Oh, thank you.
There's
so
a little
much.
Something in there for you. Okay. But can y'all give him a hand?
Amen. And let me just say this here. We came here from Modesto, California, and in May of 1987, we started this work, and all of my family were just people like you, and we, with the same failures and victories, with the same tears and the same joy, and I just want to say it's an honor to be your pastors up here. It's just an honor, and we love you. Thank you so much.
Oh, we have to sing him a happy birthday special. I'm going to shut this off. You don't want me singing.
Thank you.
Amen. We believe in having fun here at Parish Christian Center. Parish Christian Center is an interdenominational ministry, and that means you can be whatever it is that you are. If you're Baptist, if you're Catholic, if you're Presbyterian, if you're Methodist, if you're First, Second, or Third Baptist, if you're Catholic, whatever it is that you are, at the end of the day, the most important thing is that you're saved. Amen, is that you know Jesus and you have a personal relationship with him as your Lord and Savior. And so if you're visiting with us this morning, my name is Pastor Kelly, and I just want to let you know that if we can get through this service without me absolutely offending you, it's going to be a miracle. But the Word of God is offensive, and I don't sugarcoat the gospel. The Word is not meant to be sugarcoated, but it's meant to just be put out there and for the sheep to get a hold of and to apply it to their life. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Welcome the living God in this service right now. You know, in a week's time, you may have had a very stressful week. You may have had a week where you've said, Lord, I have had a bad week. I've struggled emotionally. I've struggled spiritually. I've struggled with depression. I've struggled with addiction. God, I've struggled at my job. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, I don't know how to pay the bills. See, for every single problem that you have, that problem has a name. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there is a name above every single name, and that name is Jesus. And so I'm going to begin to pray. I believe that God is going to meet you right where you're at. So I'm going to ask you to lift up your hands and give God every single bit of praise that you have. I'm going to ask you to give Him every bit of glory that you could possibly pour out on Him. I'm going to ask you to pour it out. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we welcome you into this service right now. God, I call out addiction in this place, and I bind it up right now. God, you said in your word that you needed a binder and that you needed a looser. So right now, God, I bind up every bit of addiction in this place. I call out drugs, God, in Jesus' name. Pornography, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I bind those things up. God, I loose healing and peace in this place right now. God, where conviction needs to fall, Lord, I ask for conviction, God. Lord, where peace needs to come into hearts today, God, I ask you for peace right now that passes all understanding, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. You know, God is always talking and He's always working and He's always moving in your life. And when you can't feel God, just stop in your everyday and say, God, I'm having trouble feeling you. God, can you fill me up with your presence so I can feel that you're here? And it has been a real week. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes the closer tyranny that it gets to the end of the year, I just say, God, I'm in survival mode. Lord, get me to January. I get so busy and so worked up over this needs to happen and that needs to happen, and you get overwhelmed. So what I want to tell you is I see that on some of y'all's faces from time to time when you come in here, and what I'm asking you to do is give it to God. It's very, very difficult. Now, I do want to make mention of our nursery over here. If you have a child that becomes restless, we've got speakers on over there. There's lights in there. We can definitely get you comfortable over there. Amen? But anyways, it has been a real week. And when God calls you to do something, and by the way, I want to make mention that you're all called. Every single one of you. God has called you by name. He has set you apart. And you were born, and not only were you born, but you were born full of purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Now, the devil will try to talk you out of the purpose, and he'll try to talk you out of the plan. But at the end of the day, God is still exactly who He says that He is. And that purpose is still there, no matter what you do to run from it. No matter what you think you've done to mess it up, the purpose is still there. The plan of God for your life is still there. You can run from it. You can hide from it. You can try to act like it's not there. But at the end of the day, it's there. It is there. And it is prevalent in your life. And I always try to see, God, what are you trying to tell me? And I don't know how God works with everybody, but I know how He works with me. And God has to show me things sometimes repeatedly to get me to slow down enough to get it. I don't know about y'all, but I'm like a squirrel. And God has to show me things many times for me to just be like, oh, wait a minute. And I stopped this week and I said, Lord, excuse me, are you trying to tell me something? Because I'm ready to listen. Tyranny's going, oh, that's me. So I know that some of us are like that. But, you know, the past probably month or so, I have brushed up against families and hurting people due to death in their family in one way, shape, or another. And I said, God, what are you trying to show me? What is this? Because I want to quit having to do that. That's very unpleasant. I hate when people pass away because it makes me sad. I love them. I hate to see crying people. I don't care who they are. If they're crying, if they're my worst enemy, I'm going to sit down there and cry with them. That's just how I am. So Monday night, Paris Christian Center is up to 187 senior citizen meals that we cook, we serve, we package up, and we deliver to those 187 senior citizens. And at the beginning of my pastorship, God put that inside of me, and it's been one of the joys of my pastoring. It's been like my baby. And I love the senior meals because God birthed that in the middle of a pandemic. And don't let anybody tell you that in the middle of a bunch of adversity that God won't still bless you. Don't let anybody tell you that God won't still do miracles, because God will do miracles. He does them all the time. He does them on a daily basis. In the Psalms, David said, "Lord, you enlarged my territory right in the middle of all of my distress, in the middle of all my problems, in the middle of all my failures. God, you made my stuff bigger. You made it better. You made a way where there wasn't a way in the middle of it all." And that's how I truly feel about the pandemic. But as we went on my third stop on Monday night, you know, Mondays are very crazy for me. I cook a little, which is really amazing that God has called me to cook, because when he put that on my heart, I said, "God, are you sure? I can burn toast. I mean, I'm talented." And I cook a little bit, and then I go to the jail ministry. Then I come back. We do a little bit more cooking. Then we package it up. And then I have a route also. And so I've always loved to be involved. I'm not the type of person that is going to come up with stuff for everybody else to do. I'm going to be involved in it from start to finish. So on our third stop, we pull up, and I notice one of my favorites, and he was lying on the ground in between the threshold of his door, and my heart just literally sank. And he had passed away. I had to make that 911 call. And all night, I was just disturbed, because I said, "God, a couple Mondays ago, I had to tell two mamas of two boys about their sons. And Lord, what are you trying to show me? Because I've come very close up to this." And what I believe that God is sharing with me as the pastor of the church, and what I believe what he wants me to push on towards y'all, is that your life was meant to make a difference. There are people that will never be who they're supposed to be without your impact on their life. This church is pretty. It's as pretty as we could possibly make it. But make no mistake, you're the church. Amen. You're the church. Every single one of you. On your bad days, when you don't feel like you like anybody, you don't even like yourself, you're still the church. You're still the hands and feet of Christ. And so I'm going to ask one of the deacons to get up, turn this air, whichever way you got to turn it, to get it cool down. Who's hot? All right. It's the Holy Spirit enlightened me. No, it was Dad. He was going. Now, I'm like a squirrel. I told you, if I'm in the middle of making you cry and I get hot, we're going to stop that for a minute. We're going to get this air where it needs to be. But anyways, somebody said, "Pastor Kelly, were you the one that made that 911 call?" And I said, "Yes, I was." And they said, "Well, that's what we told his family." And when they heard that that was you, they said, "He loved Pastor Kelly. He loved her, and he would talk about her. He would talk about those meals. He would talk about how excited he got to see them when they came." And so what I want to tell you today is you matter. You matter. There is every lying, demonic presence in the pit of hell trying to tell you that you've goofed up too much, that your life doesn't matter, that you made too many mistakes. But I want you to know, if you don't hear anything else that I say this morning, I want you to know that you matter. And you matter so much to God that he just got all of you here. See, God knew exactly who would be here today. Every single person. He knows every single tear that you've cried about what you're going through. He's counted every tear. He knows every hair on your head. He knows your very next breath. He knows your last breath. And so I want you to know that you matter. Go with me now to Genesis chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 22. We are looking in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. And it says here, as long as the earth endures. See, nobody knows the day, nobody knows the hour, but as long as this earth endures, there are things that are going to continue to go on, and they are seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease as long as this earth that we're living on endures. There's going to always be seed time and harvest. I believe that the harvest is very plentiful. There are people out there looking for hope. Ain't nobody going to be getting it until you take it out and you give them hope. I saw a t-shirt the other day and I thought that needs to be the next church shirt. It says Hope Dealer. Hope Dealer. You hear drug dealers, you hear this dealer, drama dealer, all the dealers. But when's the last time you just thought, I'm going to deal some hope out, because that's what this world needs really is hope. They need one person that is a born-again believer to say, you know what, it does not matter what you're going through. God will make a way. He will do whatever he has to do to make sure that he turns that situation around for your good. For your good. See, the word says, now God will turn everything around for the good of those that love him. That love him. Didn't say the perfect people, thank God. But it says that the qualification of that is for the good of those that love him. So there will always be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. They will never cease. As long as the earth endures, there are still souls to be won. There are still souls to be won. There are so many people, and they are concerned and worried about their grown children. Many times I have people message me, and they are concerned about their grown children. And I want to tell you something. God knows the day and the hour and the moment he's going to send that laborer out to harvest that soul of your grown child. If you're a parent and you're worried about that in here this morning, I want you to know that God has got that kid of yours in the palm of his hand. But when he tells you to go do something, you best be doing that. There are many times that I have come up and preached, and I know that my dad, when he full-time pastored for all those years, 30-something years, there were times that he came behind the pulpit brokenhearted over his own family, over his own children. There's been many times where I've sat here and I've said, God, I'm too brokenhearted to preach. God, I'm too messed up right now to even minister. And he would say, Kelly, you go feed my sheep and I'm going to watch over yours. I'm sending my angels to yours right now. See, you got to still do your calling despite whatever's going on in your family, on your job, in your marriage, with your children, with everything. Be that person. Be it. Am I saying that you're never going to have a bad day? No, honey, you're going to have some bad days. But there is the Holy Spirit who is the comforter, and he will be with you on those days that you feel like you can't go on. Amen. Now go with me now to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. There's so many times where we get into the middle of a routine. You know, the thing that God called you to do can become mundane and routinistic if you let it. I said the thing that God called you to do, if you let it, can just become a routine to you. If God called you to be a teacher and you're hating life because those little blessings are awful, because you've let them slide one too many times, that's going to become a routine to you, and eventually you're not going to like your calling, right? God was ministering to me about this a few weeks ago, and I said, you know what? I'm going to get this straightened out in my own life, because I'm not going to allow my calling to make me irritated all the time, right? And I said, here's what we're going to do starting out on Monday. I'm going to slow down, and I'm going to stop worrying about how many stops that I got to make, and I'm just going to love on these old people like I used to. And I got out there, and I hugged one of them and prayed for her, and she just starts crying. Well, then it makes me want to cry. See, I get over there to one of my other favorites and sit down with him and minister to him. And see, you have to get yourself out of the routine of your calling. Do you see what I mean? Get yourself to say, God, help me to feel and live and breathe what you have for me to do. See, God has a calling for your life. He doesn't want you to not enjoy it. He wants you to enjoy it. He said, I've come that you would have life and have it in abundance. God wants you to be abundantly joyful to live your days out. He doesn't want you depressed and stressed and full of strife and full of aggravation. If God called you to it, He's going to see you through it, and He's going to give you enough grace to enjoy it. And so it says here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, and it says, let us not become weary in doing good. How many of you can say, you know, here lately, I've been doing good, I've been doing my best, but I've become a little weary. Amen. God wants to get that weariness off of you. Get it off of you. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time. See, there is a time and a place for everything. And I want to tell you this morning that your breakthrough is on God's itinerary. It's already on the calendar. It's already on the books. Your miracle is already recorded in history, and it is already a done deal. Your family problem is already worked out, and God knows the very second that that thing is coming into line with His Word. Let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good. Keep doing good. God sees it. Somebody in here is saying, you know, God, I don't know if what I'm doing is even important. Does anybody notice it? Does it even matter? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. It matters a lot. It matters a lot. And so it says here, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. God has not called you this far to let you quit and fail. All of your silly mistakes that you've made, those still have done nothing to the end result. The end result is if you will stick with God, you will win. Do we make mistakes along the way? Yes, we do. Do we fall down? Yes, we do. If you're struggling here with addiction, do you have relapses at points? Yes, you do. But I'm encouraging you to get yourself to stand back up and just say, God, here I am. I'm going to begin again today. Lord, here I am. You said that you are making me into a new creation. So God, right now, I surrender to that. And I ask you to make me new today. God has not called you to failure. Your victory is already scheduled, but you cannot give up. You cannot afford to create a failure in your mind. This stuff, it happens in your mind. People say, Pastor Kelly, I don't know how I've cussed that person out in the grocery store. I hear some of the weirdest things, and I'm like, well, let me just tell you, first of all, welcome to humanity. If you ain't wanted to ever cuss somebody out in the grocery store, then you don't have breath in your lungs. I get so aggravated at the grocery store, and people are like, I can't believe she talked about cussing somebody out behind the pulpit. That awful pastor. She's terrible. Look here, I'm going to preach about things that people actually go through. Right? Because you need to know what to do when that comes over you, that devil comes over you in the grocery store. You need to know, shut up and do not cuss them out. Do not slap them like they darn well deserve, okay? You need to know what to do. You need to know what to do. And what you don't do is give up. Don't give up. God's got you. He's got you right in the palm of His hand, and He loves you so much. He's saying, you know what? Don't get weary in doing good. Don't sit there and wonder if you're making a difference. You are. You are making a difference and you're full of purpose. If you are, I don't know who the oldest person is here, but whoever it is, God still, is it Jack? Jack, I'm sorry, they're pointing at you, honey. Don't get mad at me. You get mad at those two troublemakers you're sitting by. Jack and Fran. Rocky, what about you? This whole row is full of purpose. People get so offended at the silliest things, and I'm like, I'm a person, but let me tell y'all, this whole row is full of purpose. There's some young ones over there sitting, some little old kids. They're full of purpose. You're never too old to live out your purpose. And your days matter just as much as mine matter, just as much as Brother Angelo's matter, just as much as Keisha's matter. You matter. Don't compare yourself to other people. The moment you do that, you're going to come up losing. You can't compare yourself to another person and win. Because you're going to always find something that they have or that you think they have or an attribute that you like that you don't have. You'll come up losing every time. Don't compare yourself. When God made you, He made you just the way that you are for an exact purpose. So it says that at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So when you get weary, and we've all been there, and I think that the longer that this year goes by, we get weary because we're just like, oh, when will it be over? You know, I want to just get to a fresh start, just fresh in January. I just want to be fresh. I want to start out. And oh, look here. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Start with today. You don't have to be on January 1st. To get to do whatever it is that you've got in your head that you need to do today. When you get weary about whatever you're going through, say, Lord, I thank you because your word says that if I don't give up, that at the proper time, that harvest that's mine is coming to pass. And Lord, I thank you right now for the harvest that you've got for my life. And I call it in. And you begin to name those things out. God, I thank you for healing my family. God, I thank you for healing my body. God, I thank you right now, God, that the financial problem, Lord, you're helping that. And God, I have more than enough. Lord, I thank you, God, for all the drama. Lord, all the this and all the that. Lord, you're working all things out. See, you have to renew your mind or you're going to get real weary. Renew your mind. And it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, your days are filled with opportunity. Every moment that God gives you in a day, they are full of opportunity. You're going to either eat all of the snap chips or you're going to leave some for tomorrow. For my birthday, I had about 100 bags of those. And I was thinking, if I don't bless someone else with these, I can't even fit through the door of the church if I start eating this much chips. But thank y'all. And it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Y'all go with me now to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 35 through 38. And it says here, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And in verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Now, I want to tell you something. God has compassion on whatever it is that you're going through today. When he sees you, when he looks at you, he's not seeing all your failures and all your faults. What he's seeing is that he has compassion on you. He cares about where you're at in your life, and he knows just exactly what you need. There's so many times where we get into problems in our lives and we say, God, I don't even know what I need. I don't even know what to pray. God knows. God knows. And he sees you and he has compassion. And so it says here, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And in verse 37, it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. but the workers are few. There is nothing new under the sun. The workers are few back then, and the workers are few now. Amen? And there are too many Christians, blood-bought, Holy Spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers outside of the church that, Pastor Kelly, I'm too depressed to come to church. I don't feel like I have anything to offer. I'm this or I'm that. And I say very humbly, and if you want to get offended at this, get offended at it. It is what it is. The Word of God is offensive. Stop making excuses for the thing that you know God wants you to do. Stop making excuses for the thing that you know God wants you to do. A lot of people say, I'm going to get it right after my last bag of dope. No, baby, you best get it right now. I'm going to stop drinking after the last bottle. No, sweetheart, you need to stop drinking now. I'm going to stop cheating when this happens. No, you need to stop doing that now. Because as I am learning in the ministry, your next breath, it is not promised. It is not promised to you. There are so many people that walk out of their door and they think they're coming back. And Jennifer, they don't. They don't. And it's a sobering thing to think about how vulnerable and tangible that life is. And as your pastor, I am asking you to be a worker. I am asking you to be a doer of the word. And I am asking you to live and not die. When you wake up in the morning, you say, God, place me where you'd have me to be today. God, put me in the very center of your will. And Lord, don't let me step out in left field. God, protect me and God, guide me. Because see, the devil is also there. And he loves to steal, to kill, and to destroy in your life. And it says here that though harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The workers are few. I remember last harvest festival, for instance. I had some people and they were supposed to be singing up on the stage. Now this may just offend the fire out of people. It is what it is. I got a cup sitting in my car somebody gave me for pastor appreciation. It says, be careful or you may end up in my next sermon. Here we are, a year later. Brother, the Harvest Festival is very stressful for me because I care so much about if everybody else has a good time. And when people see, here's what happens. Oh, Pastor, I want to do this. I want to sing on the stage. I want to do this class. I want to do that. Here's what I have to consider. Brother Larry, you know it's the truth. I have to consider that if every single person decides that they're too whatever, that I can take up that slack, Alyssa, and I can do it myself. And tyranny, if I can't, I am learning wisdom, and I just say, no, we're not going to do that at this point in Paris Christian Center. I'm not going to let people get me so thin and worn out that I'm stressed about stuff. But last year, I was very, very stressed. Today, I was just a smidge stressed. Just a smidgen, like a little dollop. Like that sour cream commercial, a dollop a daisy. So I get over there in the heat of everything. I'm moving tables. I'm slinging chairs. I'm putting up pop-up tents. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And they say, Pastor Kelly, I just don't feel good. I can't lead praise and worship. And I was so stressed that I was short with that person, and I just hung up the phone. Now, that's a fleshly part of me, and I don't like that I did that, but I did it, and I will own it. See, can you own where you mess up? They were like, well, you were rude. And I said, yes, I was. Well, you hung up on me. Yes, I did. What else do you want to accuse me of? Because I'll admit up to that, too. If I did it, I'll tell you. I did it. But look here. Be who you're supposed to be. Be who you're supposed to be. Suit up, show up. Here's what I know. God wants to use you every day to impact someone else's life. Amen. for the better. For the better. For the better. God wants to use you. I heard that it was said that this guy's daughter that we found, we wouldn't have wanted any other person to find our daddy but Pastor Kelly. I leaned over and I touched his back and I could feel that life had left his body. Now you know what the word says? The word says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. I hope that you know where you're going. I hope that you know where you're going today. If today was your last day, I hope you know where you're going. And I put my hand on his back and I said, Lord, thank you for receiving this one. Look here, you are full of purpose. Don't let the devil lie to you and steal it. You're full of purpose. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you've made. Doesn't matter how imperfect that you think you are. You are full of purpose. You are full of purpose. Full of it. That person still ain't coming to church. I'm offended at Pastor Kelly. Look here. Get over it. Get over it. Here's what you can always tell. And here's what I want to plant inside of you. If you get offended at me and you want to leave, you need to pray and you need to ask God, God, are you moving me from Parish Christian Center? Because I'm going to tell you this. If he's not, and you move, and this is with anything, whether it's your job, your church, anything, anything. If you make a move, and that move was not ordained by God, you are going to have hell on earth. You may not see it on month one, or month two, or month whatever. Look here. When people get offended at the pastor, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to get offended and go somewhere else, which hardly ever happens. Or they'll get offended and not go to church at all. That person is still not in church to this day. Why am I talking about that? That wasn't even in the message, but for whatever reason, God's having me share that. Look here. God has put you full of purpose. Live out your days with that purpose. Don't let the devil snag you up and get you on the wrong track. That's how he kills you. That's how he destroys your life. That's how he takes everything from you. That's how he does it. So it says here, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I remember specifically there was one time where I was sitting right there where Carson was sitting and I was telling God how broken I was, how I could not get behind the pulpit and preach because I was devastated inside of my soul. I said, God, I'm not even fit. He said, Kelly, you get up there and you know that as you get up there and as you do what I've called you to do, I'm going to yours. In the middle of doing what you're supposed to do, God will answer everything that's going wrong in your life. He'll answer everything that you've got going on. It says, ask God, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I'm asking you today to be a worker. Wherever you're at in your life, I'm asking you, be who you're supposed to be. When God says, smile at this person, smile at them. When he says, go over there and hug them, go hug them. When he says, go do this for them, go do that. People make up so many excuses why not to do what God has called them to do or what he's told them to do. God, are you sure? It's like me with the food thing. Are you sure about that? When the pandemic started and I was a fresh, brand new pastor, I thought, oh my God, are you sure you want me to do this? I'm not going to go outside, God. That's what I'm not going to do. 3 months of preaching outside, God was able to work some things out of me that I don't think he could have worked out of me any other way. So Kelly, don't be so uptight about everything. You're just uptight. If people aren't there, you're thinking it's you. If this happens, you're blah, blah, blah. We were there one this is no joke. He was ministering to me on being so uptight. And within a two-week span, here we've got the camera. We're on live. And that got on my nerves because they're like, you got to stay in this little square. And it was the stoop of the church. Well, there's no way on God's green earth I can stay in a square. I can't even, I mean, I'm like a squirrel. There's no way. It's not happening. And these dogs, all this pack of dogs, come right in the front, and they start fighting and having this big dog fight on the camera. And my skin is just crawling, and I could hear God say, Kelly, stop being so uptight. I was like, God, how does this look? We can't even control the dogs. There's no way we can control any people. And he said, exactly. Stop trying to control them. I sent these dogs to you to give you a life lesson. The next week rolls around. Look here. When every church in Logan County decides they're going to pastor and preach outside, you're going to have some competition as far as the sound is concerned. I said, look, you raise me up till I can't be no louder, all right? I want them to hear me on their way to Fort Smith. They did it. And I was just I look back at those messages I preached during the pandemic, and I was so angry. I was, like, yelling. It was awful. I'm like, how did people stay through that? It's terrible. And this little guy on a motorized wheelchair rolls up on the camera, of course. God's, once again, he's telling me, don't be so worked up, Kelly. Don't, you know, I've got a plan for your life, but you're going to have to chill. This little guy rolls up, and he looks at me, and I've got my Bible, and I'm just stomping around in my square that they've, like, confined me to, having an awful time. And he goes, what are you so mad about? And I said, God, I know you're trying to tell me something. I'm ready to listen. I get it. I don't know what you're going to send next, but I'm done. I surrender. I'm going to be good. So turn with me now to Luke chapter 8. And see, it says, ask God to send workers to get that harvest. Jesus Christ himself, he said, I haven't come to be served, but I've come to serve. The Bible also says, imitate Christ. And I want to plant something inside of you today. It's not to manipulate you. I don't have a violin or a fiddle, and I'm not going to put on the music and try to manipulate your feelings, because that's what happens. And look here, anything that's done out of manipulation will not last. It won't last. If you're not serving, I don't care if you're a kid, if you're an adult, if you're an older person, or in between. I don't care what you are. Find a place to serve. Find a place to serve. Find something to do. Because if Jesus Christ himself said, I haven't come to be served, but I've come to serve, what have you come to do in your life? I've already told you God filled you full of purpose, filled you full of calling. It may be something like, for instance, Miss Rita over here. She said, Pastor Kelly, I have gotten some throw blankets because I know it's going to be getting cold and people get cold in church. Look here, I can't make all y'all happy with this air. If I get the air conditioner going, somebody's mad they're cold. If I get the heater going, somebody's mad they're hot. There is no way I can control anything with that, okay? She's like, Pastor, I'm going to get a basket and I'm going to keep making them. Well, you know what, Rita? There has not been a service that's gone by where somebody hadn't wrapped themselves up in one of them blankets. Thank you for doing that. Amen. Find something you can do to serve. Some of you work. You know what? If this is your home church, get to know people. Like on days like today where we're going to have a harvest festival, get to know your church family. Get their phone numbers. When you wake up and you think, Lord, I'd sure like to serve or do something, but I don't know what I can do. I have to work today. Get your phone out, text five people, I love you and I'm praying for you. And then actually pray. Amen. I'm thinking about you. I'm going to pray for you right now. I've noticed you look kind of sad. I'm going to pray that God give you joy. Amen. When you know somebody's not doing well, say, hey, are you okay? You can serve everybody. I don't care who you are, from the smallest to the biggest, you can serve. When my kids were little, a lot of people, they'd go to our nursing home ministry on Christmas Day. And yeah, we could do it any other day because I know people got things to do on Christmas. So do I. But see, that's Jesus' birthday, and we're going to put him first. I don't care if I'm doing it over there by myself or what, but that's what we've done for 30 years. We're going to keep doing that because those older folks, they need to know that Jesus made sure that they had a visitor and that they got something. But when they were little, Alyssa, what I would do is I would dress them up real cute. They won't let me do that now. At all. I mean, bow ties, dress shoes, little polished black little shoes, little suits, all of it. The whole nine yards. I thought, who needs a girl? These boys are great. I can do whatever I want to with them. They really give me a run for my money now. I'm like, oh my God. Lord, please help me to get my bluff in. But I used to dress them up. And I would take them to the nursing home. And I would just put those babies right in the lap of one of those old ladies. Why? Because everyone can serve. That's why. Everyone. Everyone. Now I dress Lulu up. I say, Lulu, don't you nip at anybody and don't you pee, sister. And then we get her around and she just flops around and she's happy with her little bug ears. Everybody can serve. Find a place in your life that you can serve. Because let me tell you something. That's your biggest blessing. That's your biggest blessing. Tap into the blessing of God. Tap into it. So in Luke chapter 8, Jesus was sharing a parable about the sower. And he goes through. And for time's sake, y'all can read this all yourself. It's in Luke chapter 8. It's verse 1 through 15. But for right now, for today, I'm going to start in verse 11, bud. And it says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. In the beginning of the parable, Jesus said, there was a farmer, and he went out to sow his seed. And as it was scattered, some of the seed fell on this ground. Some of it fell on this type of ground. Some of it fell on the thorns. Some of it fell on rocky ground. And he began to describe all of the types of ground that the farmer, when he put that seed down, that it fell on. The ground is people. It's people. And then the word, it says in verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. I get up here and every Sunday I say, get into the word. Why? Because the word is going to help you and it's going to help you help others. The seed that you're supposed to sow is the word. Is the word. In every capacity. When the word tells you to be good to those that aren't good to you, that's the word. Plant seed into their life. When I was growing up, you know, not everybody was happy there was an Italian Puerto Rican pastor with an interdenominational church. They were like, what does interdenominational mean? Is that a cult? They were awful. He would get white envelopes. And he would address them to people. And he would put money into those ministries. And then he would put his hand over them. God, in Jesus' name, bless my enemy. Bless my enemy. God, bless those that curse me. Look here, we've seen a lot of people come in the ministry, and we've seen a lot of people go. We've seen churches be planted. See, the problem is anytime there's a church argument, there should not be a church split. Parish Christian Center has never had that. Why? Because this is a God-ordained place. We're going to all get along. We may duke it out, but we'll duke it out. I've had that happen. I used to have an old guy, and he used to stand at the door. One time, one of his granddaughter's boyfriends came in. He goes, "You're not coming in here." And Dad goes, "You can't do that. He can't come in here." And one of them sat on one side, and one of them sat on the other side, and they were both uncomfortable, but they were in here. The things you go through to get people to meet Christ. We have been through it all. So it says here, the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. But then they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. See, are you choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures? And then they never mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Produce a crop. I'm asking you to be a worker, but I'm also asking you, produce a crop. Produce something with your life. Don't sit there and let your addiction waste your life. Don't let your troubles make you not enjoy life to where you can't do what God's called you to do. And I want to let you know something. There are people that are so good at what I'm preaching at in this church. And I want to encourage you, keep doing what you're doing. You are not responsible for the ground that the seed is thrown on. God will deal with the ground. Every Sunday that I get up here and preach, here's what I know, Sherry. Some people, they're going to take this, they're going to apply it, and their life is going to be better. Some of it, they're looking at the clock and they're like, when is that crazy blonde going to shut up? That the word is not going to take root up in them. Some people, they're like, I really love Pastor Kelly. She's long-winded, and how's the crock pot with the roast in it doing? Is it burnt? It's probably not going to sink into them real great. Eat before you come. But there's always going to be ground that if you'll put seed over it, it's going to come up. There's going to be a harvest. I've been asked this so many times. People say, Pastor Kelly, in these meals that we're giving to the senior citizens, or maybe we should get bags and do it like this church and put flyers about your church services and do all this stuff. Why don't we do that? For this one reason, God is better than that. God is better than that. Because when God really calls someone to a church, he will stir them to where they will sit here and watch the door till they see traffic and come in. God is better than that. I know that God will draw. Look here, if people come through my line on Wednesday and they get food and they sit down and they realize that God loves them so much, he made sure they had something to eat, and they go down the road to the other church, my job is still done. I'm happy about it. I'm not concerned about the pews and the people that aren't there anymore. Why? Because, see, God worked that out of me 2 or 3 years ago. Be a worker. Be a doer. Find somewhere you can serve. Find somewhere you can serve. Don't give up. If you've been doing good and you say, God, I have tried my best. I don't know what's going on in my life, but I can't get a breakthrough. Keep going, because there's a right and a proper time. That breakthrough is already a done deal. Keep going. Don't get discouraged. Keep going. Last place for me, John chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 35. And here's Jesus. And he says, "Do you not say 4 more months and then the harvest? And I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together." There are people that if we looked on the outside, we would say, "Oh, those people, they'll never get it right. Oh, the harvest, it's not for 4 months. Oh, that person, they'll get it right with about the time their mama did, and she's about 40, so no, that person's got 5 more years. We'll deal with them when they get, you know." Don't look at people and think that there can't be a harvest in their life. You're not responsible for that. You're responsible to do and to be a worker. Plant that seed. Plant that seed. God will do the rest. Don't get discouraged when you look at people and you don't think that they're getting it. They're getting it. They may not know that they're getting it, but they're getting it. You may not can see on the outward appearance that you're making a difference in their life, but look here. There are things that are not seen in the natural realm. You can't see them. But look here. Just because you can't see something doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It does. You're not going to be able to see everything that God's doing. Why? Because we'd probably mess it up. Be encouraged this morning. God loves you guys so much. We are going to have an awesome harvest festival. Here's what we are going to do. I'm going to go over a couple things. We have got our Bain Center up. The air's in it. There are some folks, they absolutely cannot sit outside. They may have asthma, like one of these kids, or they may be older. They don't need all that wind and all that stuff messing with all of their self. We're going to let the older folks, we're going to let them sit in the Bain Center. If you're one of those people and you need to be in the Bain Center, that's fine. I want everybody that physically needs to sit in the Bain Center to eat their lunch and to have a good time, I want them to be able to do that. If you see a bunch of kids in there running around roughhousing, send them out. We've got a bunch of blow-ups over there. We've got grilled hot dogs, grilled hamburgers, nachos, all sorts of things. It's all for y'all. It's all for y'all. We love y'all very much. If you'll stand to your feet, I'm going to pray. We're going to be ready for lunch. Now, here's what I want to tell every kid that's in here. To get on the bounce house, you have to have your shoes off, okay? Don't let Pastor see you in there with shoes on. We are going to let the older folks get their lunch first. So kiddos, play for a little bit, 10, 15 minutes. Let's let them get their lunch and sit down so they can be peaceful, okay? All right, now. There is absolutely no cussing over at the Bain Center. There's no slapping each other either. Anything awful that you would see on the Jerry Springer show, that there's none of that either. I always feel so responsible when I get a lot of people together. I'm like, I can't even make a list of things that they're not supposed to do. But Sherry right over here is the lawgiver. She's my right-arm woman. And she has griped out of many of people on my behalf so I don't look like a jerk. So, in all seriousness, we're going to pray. Dear Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every person, Lord, that's been in your house today. Lord, I ask that you would bless them. God, I ask that you would enlarge their territory. God, I ask that you would come inside of their heart, God, and be so real. Lord, answer every prayer, God, that they have. And Lord, help all of us, God, to do our part, Lord, in gathering up the harvest here on this earth for you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. One more thing. If you need, if you need